Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, listeners, and welcome to another episode of Weekdays with Murph. Our guest hasn't called in yet, so I'll just go ahead and tell you a little bit about today's guest. I was super stoked when this guest agreed to come on. Please join me as I sit down for a few minutes with the incredibly sweet and incredibly talented Miss Jen Lilly. You may recognize Jen from her upcoming movies, Turnaround Jake or The Backup Bride. But Jen is probably most noted for portraying Mariah Maximiliana, Maxie Jones on the ABC soap General Hospital, taking over the role when a previous actress, Kirsten Storms, fell ill. We'll chat about that and more, and maybe she'll tell a story that will touch your heart like it did mine. And I see we have a couple of callers. I'll see if one of them is Jen. Hold on. Hi, is this Jen? A caller, hello. Okay, yes, there's nobody on that line. Hi, caller, you're on.
Hi, how are you doing?
Pretty good. How are you? Who am I speaking with?
The name's Tamara, but everyone calls me Tammy.
Oh, you're the Twitter contest winner.
I am.
Oh, okay. I don't see a Jen's number anywhere, but as soon as she calls in, I will put you right on through.
All right, sounds good.
All righty, thank you, ma'am.
Hey.
Hi, is this Jen?
Yes, this is Jen. Hi, how are you doing?
Hey, Jen, this is Cody. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Pretty good. How's your week been so far?
It's been good. It's been busy. Pilot season is just starting up, so it's exciting.
Huh, awesome. As I was just telling the listeners, of course, I was telling them where they could find you, your movies and everything. But I went through your IMDb page, and you had a guest starring role on one of my favorite shows, Castle.
Yes, that was so amazing. Nathan Fillion is super nice. They were all super nice, but he was kind of ridiculously nice. So it's a fun cast to work with, and I really like that show. So it's exciting.
I never missed an episode of that show ever.
That's funny. Yeah.
I wanted to ask you is, and I hate to bring this back up again, but a fan backlash when you first started GH. Talk about that again a little bit.
When I first started GH?
Yes.
Well, I mean, it was an awesome experience, but it was also very kind of crazy and rushed. I auditioned basically the day before I started, and I auditioned, I believe, it was either September 13th, I guess, and I think I started on the 14th. Mm-hmm. So what happened was I got a call on the 12th, and they're like, hey, you're going to go in for General Hospital, you know, the 12th at like 6 p.m. at night. And I was like, okay. So they're like, it's for, you know, 11 a.m. or something tomorrow. And I was like, okay, no problem. You know, it's like 9 pages, whatever. And I'm like, that's fine. So that night, I actually, the night before the audition, I got really sick. And I've never ever canceled an audition, ever. And this was the one time I thought, maybe I'm going to cancel it. Like, I don't know if I can even do this. I don't know if I can show up without throwing up on Mark Teshner. So anyway, so I was in my bathroom and I was like, no, you know what? I can act like I'm not sick. That's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to go in. It's only going to be 10 minutes max, you know, and I'm just going to put on a brave face and just act like everything's cool and hope that I don't start sweating. So I do that, leave, get a call back, have to go do like a chemistry read with Bradford Anderson. All the while, I didn't know that I was reading for Maxie. They just basically, the description was like blonde, petite girl, perky, funny, sassy, fashion sense, whatever. So read with Bradford, and then they're like, okay, great, wait out in the lobby just a second. And I was like, okay. And they come out. They're literally already on the phone with my reps, and they're like, you booked it. And I was like, they're like, you start tomorrow morning. Do you overwhelm easily? Here's 12 scripts. Okay, so the thing is, you're taking over for Kirsten Firm. She's ill right now, so, you know, whatever, whatever. And it was supposed to be, you know, a month, and then it was 2 weeks to a month, and then it turned into 11 months. So it was a really crazy experience, and I'm really grateful that I got to be on it, but it was definitely quite the whirlwind process. I mean, from day one, basically I started when I had my call back, when I left General Hospital that night, the night of the audition, I left there around 5:30 at night or so, because I had to go do fittings and all this stuff on the fly, and then I had to be back on set the next morning. So I had literally like 12 hours before I started, and I had 40 pages my first day. So it was just crazy. It was awesome.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Yeah.
And I do remember, and this is kind of funny, but I think it was your first a week or two into Maxie, I had tweeted you. I was like, do I detect a Southern accent in there somewhere? Because I'm from Tennessee, so
that's,
I know the
right.
Southern accent well.
Yeah. I remember that tweet, actually. It's surprising to me that you could hear it, because overall, Virginia is a pretty neutral accent. I mean, some of my words, you can hear it. I don't remember which ones, but every once in a while, somebody will be like, wait, what? like, want to say thank you. Sometimes people can hear it. But, if, yeah.
Right.
I was very impressed that you could pick up on that.
Yeah. Like I said, the a Southern accent is pretty distinctive to pick up on.
Yes.
It's pretty distinctive. I do have a couple of fun, quirky questions for you, though.
All righty. Let's do it.
What's currently on your DVR and iPod right now?
Well, on my DVR, I have... I'm so nerd. I have a bunch of, like, yeah, history... channel, you know, documentaries, and then I also have, I watch Ben and Kate, I watch Modern Family, I watch Raising Hope, Parks and Rec. Those are kind of my four or five main shows that I watch. I watch a lot of comedy. Actually, I pretty much only watch comedy, to be honest, because I really like laughing, and I feel like the world has enough drama sometimes that I can't deal with dramatic shows, which is ironic because I like General Hospital and I was on it and I'm like way into the fans. But for me and myself, like, I have to laugh. So that's what's on my DVR, a bunch of nerdy documentaries and comedies. And then I don't have an iPod, but When I do listen to music on my phone, I normally do like the Panera, not Panera. Wow. I told you, 9 a.m. I don't do well. And not a morning person. Panera. Pandora. Pandora app. And I just basically, I have several stations on my Pandora, but mainly I listen to like worship music, which is also pretty cheesy, but that's the truth.
Yeah. And speaking of worship and praise music, I have to tell you, as somebody that has been fascinated with Hollywood for as long as I can possibly remember, it is extremely refreshing to see someone profess their Christian faith in pretty much every interview that you've done. So I commend you for that.
Thank you. Well, you know, I honestly, like, I didn't think I was going to be an actor until college, and I'm really only here because I feel like that's what he wants me to do. So, I mean, I don't think I even can act. I think he just makes you guys think I can. So I'm really blessed to be here, and I'm just trying to be obedient. So, yeah, I'm definitely not ashamed about it. I feel like, what's the point if I am?
Absolutely.
Really.
And I did want to touch on a story that you told. I believe it was in a couple of interviews about your a brother.
Yes.
His spina bifida before he was born. Tell that story, right?
Tell the story? Okay.
Quick, if you would, please.
Okay, so basically, my younger brother, Ryan, in a nutshell, my mom had had him. She was a high-risk pregnancy. And she'd already gone through some stuff where, they just didn't want her to really get pregnant again. Well, she was pregnant. And they were like, okay, well, we're just going to closely monitor this baby because it's a high-risk pregnancy. And she, at the time, she had Jewish doctors, and I stress that because it's part of the story. We love Jewish people. Jesus was a Jew. I have Jewish heritage in my own blood, but it's still pretty funny. So part of the story. So anyway, so my mom gets one of her sonograms done, and they were like, oh, your baby has 1,000 times the concentration of spina bifida that we've ever seen. Like, we've never seen a case this horrible. They're like, basically, if you have this baby, it will not have, basically, his entire back would be fully open. And they were like, he can't. Like, you have to abort this baby. And my mom, we don't believe in abortion in my family. I am very pro-life. So anyway, because I believe God's a miracle worker, and so does my mom, and so does my dad. My mom looks at this Jewish doctor. My dad said, he was like, I had to basically drag your mother out of there. Like, this is where I get my sassiness from, this woman. So she looks at the doctor like, we worship the God of Isaac and Abraham and Jacob. Like, is our God not the same today as he was yesterday, as he is in the future? Like, God is a healer, and the American church is sleeping, and they need to wake up because God is still alive today, and he's going to heal my baby. You should be ashamed of yourself for telling me to support this baby because of who the God that we serve. So she left. They get a new doctor. And, you know, in the meantime. But that night, that literal, the same night that she had the sonogram, she's like, I'm not receiving this. I believe in God. This is not, I'm not accepting this report. So she calls up, I guess, the prayer group at church. And if anyone knows how prayer groups work, a lot of times there's like prayer networks all over the country. And you, it's like one church calls another church, calls another church, calls another church, right? It's like telephone. So so all these people in the nation are praying. And that night my mom said that she felt heat in her womb. And she was like, I felt the baby leap in me. And I knew, like, my baby's healed. So she goes to the doctor's appointment, or goes to the doctor the next day. Like, hi, I want to have a sonogram, you know. And they're like, you're here. Like, you already have a sonogram. You know, we have other patients. Like, you know, they're like, basically, you're a crazy person. Because it is hard to accept supernatural things, you know, today, especially in the United States. You always hear about it in other countries. So anyway, So she's like, oh, wait. So she sits there and waits, and they bring her back for a sonogram finally. And the girl, my mom said, you know, they wouldn't even really give her a doctor. They basically gave her, like, I don't know if she was an intern, but she was, like, fresh out of college, like, 22-year-old girl, right? And so my mom's like, just so you know, you're going to witness the power of Jesus Christ today. And she's like, and of course the girl, I mean, my mom's a sane woman, but she's, like, fired up. I mean, if you've been touched by the hand of God, like, you're pretty unashamed about it. So she's like, so, you know, she's like, of course the girl looks back at me like a normal person would. And she's like, okay, I'm thinking, she's probably thinking, oh, God, like, this woman's baby's still going to have spina bifida, and I'm going to have to be in the room with her when she, like, has her meltdown. This is probably what the girl's thinking. So my mom's like, that's fine. So she gets the sonogram, and she said the girl literally could not tell her that the baby was healed. Like, she just started weeping. She just started bawling her eyes out, and she was like, she just turned the monitor around, and they were like, okay, like, your baby doesn't have any spina bifida. There wasn't even, like, genetic, it was like you couldn't even tell that it ever had spina bifida. So, and I don't know medically how they know that, but they were like, this doesn't even, you know, make sense. Like, it's clearly, like, we can't explain this. I'm like, I can, it's God. So she leaves, and she's like, great. Well, however many months go by, and it's time to have the baby, and she has my little brother, and he is being strangled by the umbilical cord. Meanwhile, he broke off her tailbone, which was horrible, in labor, and then he was a stillborn baby, meaning he's dead. The baby's already dead, and you have to birth your dead baby when you should be birthing a live baby. So my mom has Ryan, and, you know, and of course, the doctors, at this point, she's a Christian doctor, and I guess the doctors and the nurses and stuff gave her a moment alone with the baby, and they're going out in the hall to pray. Well, of course, they're like the standard current day modern American that, and it's not a bad thing, but it's just not how we're supposed to pray. But they're praying like for my mom. They're like, oh God, like comfort that lady. And it's like, yeah, that's what you're supposed to pray for. But at the same time, like, you know, the Bible says we're the bridegroom of Christ. Like, stop praying like a widow, pray like the bride of Christ. Like, you're not a widow. Pray with power. So my mom's in the room, and she's praying over the baby. You know, she's praying over Ryan, and she's like, you know, from what I remember, she telling me, obviously I wasn't in the room, but she basically in her prayer was like, God, you've let me be this baby's mother for 9 months, and it's been an amazing experience, and if you will let me be this baby's mother, then, like, I promise that I will take care of it, blah, blah, blah. And then she was like, so in the name of Jesus, like, I ask for you to come and touch, like, with your Holy Spirit, come touch my baby. And she said he immediately starts crying, and he's alive. And my mom's like, that was the best sound I've ever heard in my life. Well, of course, the doctors run in, and they're like, you know, they're doing the typical thing where they're just like, if it was a live baby, they're going through the reflexes, they're hooking him up to tubes, and they're like, what is going on here? And basically, when they're all settled, the doctor's like, okay, well, here's the thing. Your baby was dead for like 13 minutes, no oxygen flow, no oxygen anywhere. Best case scenario, your baby is either going to have, if not both, probably both, it's probably going to be mentally disabled, severely mentally disabled, and it's probably also going to have physical disabilities. He might not be able to walk. He might not even be able to speak. We don't know. And my mom's like, what are you talking about? Like, that, do you not know God? Like, God just raised my baby from the dead. Do you think that God is going to raise my baby from the dead and not heal him completely? That is not how the Lord works. The Lord touches you. He heals you wholly. It's called sozo. It's the word for salvation in Greek. It means complete restoration, physically, spiritually, and mentally. So she's like, you know. And Ryan is, oh, goodness gracious, he's 17 today. And not today, like, but Tuesday at this time, he's 17 years old, top of his class, like captain of every athletic team. I mean, and it's just like, that's God. That's God we serve. And I just think that anybody who's listening, that's, you know, what got me through, like, my faith. I definitely had, like, a trying time where I wasn't sure, you know, really if I believed the Bible and whatever, because I went through stuff with my church, and I just was like, how is you know, modern-day Christian hypocrisy. Like, how can that exist and whatever, whatever. What I could not escape, though, was the fact that at the name of Jesus, like, miracles do happen. So I just want to stress to you that, one, if you've been through something with the church, and you probably have because the American church is sorely corrupted, unfortunately, then, first of all, Jesus didn't do that to you. And second of all, if you need prayer or if you need healing, still available today. So there's that.
Wow. I have to tell you, the first time I heard that story, I was bawling my eyes out.
Yeah. I mean,
I was absolutely just crying. And full disclosure here, I was born with a spina bifida and have been living with it for the past 26 years. So that really touched the nerve with me.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, dude, Cody, like, you could still have healing. Just because you've had it for 26 years, like, that doesn't mean God can't touch you. You know?
Absolutely.
True. Let's say that.
Oh, absolutely. There's actually, well, I'm trying to lighten the mood here a little bit. There's actually a fun question that I had that I wanted to ask you.
Okay.
Away from the glitz and glamour of Hollywood, when you're back in Virginia with your family, what's the real Jen Lilly like?
Well, what you see is what you get. I mean, clearly you just heard me talk about my faith, and it's like, if I'm willing to do that, which is
yeah.
not popular, I
right.
am who I am. You know, I
mm-hmm.
laugh a lot, and I'm very kind of nerdy, and I don't often realize how nerdy I am until my friends are like, did you just realize you just did that? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, that's not, like, cool, dude. And I'm like, oh, you know, like, I'm very organized, and I set alarms and stuff, and I just, and all my friends are the same way. We're all kind of, like, really interested in, like, everything. Somebody's like, hey, I work at Taco Bell. Like, oh, cool. Tell me about that. So I'm just really, like, nerdy, and I mean, I go to coffee shops a lot, but, I mean, I'm the same way in L.A. that I am in Virginia. It's just, like, I don't like to go out much. I'm kind of...
Mm-hmm.
I like smaller groups. I like sweatpants. I like, you know, board games. That's, that's me.
If you're up for taking a call or two, oh, we have one on the line, Holden.
Awesome.
Let's bring her on.
Hi.
Is this Tammy?
This is Tammy.
Hey, Tammy. How
Hello.
Are you?
Hi, Jen. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Tammy? Having a good morning?
Well, actually, I rushed home for lunch so that I could listen to this interview.
Oh, you're so sweet. That's so sweet. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So I have a question.
Okay.
I know that you're involved in several different charities and organizations and stuff.
Yes.
I basically would like to know what inspired you or how did you start to become involved with the Child Help Org? Because that's one that's very close to me. And
yeah.
So I was just wondering, you know, how did you get involved? What made you, you know, decide to get involved with the help, with the Child Help?
Well, in a nutshell, I used to be really into water charities, which I still completely support. They're very legitimate. And I really felt like God wanted me to start working with, like, American charities. And so I was like, okay. So I did a bunch of internet searches, and I was like, okay, what charities have a longstanding history, have proof that they, you know, proof of their groundwork and give over 90% of their donations toward the cause, which is very hard to find. Well, I came across this one called Innocent Justice Foundation in San Diego, and they also work with child abuse, and they catch child pornographers. So I started working with them, still work with them, and then my publicist at the time had called me up, and she was like, well, what about Child Help? And I went on, I remember it's so funny to me, because when I was on the phone with her the first time, I said, well, how much of their money do they get to charity? Like, how long have they been around? Who are these people? You know, like, I was like, I'm not just going to be the, you know, help be the face of a charity if I don't fully support it. Like, no way. So I was like, well, look it up, and I'll get back to you. So I looked it up, and I'm like, oh, like, the most legitimate child charity in the United States, literally. Yeah, dude, totally. Let's meet with them and kind of get educated about what they do. And so I went and met with them. I went to their village and all that, and I just was smitten. So I'm just in love with that charity, and I'm in love with any charity that gives so much and is so honest and is so, I mean, there's just, like, the proof is in the pudding, you know, like, they, gosh, they have such a good track record, and it's just amazing what they do for children.
Okay. Yeah, that's kind of how and why I got involved with it, is because it is one of the outstanding organizations that, you know, basically all their money goes to help them, so.
Yeah, and the founders don't live off of the donations at all. They actually, one of them, her husband was a college professor, and I think, don't quote, and he did shows like Dick Van Dyke. I don't think Dick Van Dyke was one of his shows, but basically more than like half the programs on TV land were his. So she lived off that, and they lived together because both of their husbands have passed away. And I'm like, I think that's legit. I think that's awesome that you're the founders of your foundation and you don't, you know,
you're
live
not
off
living
of
off
the,
yeah,
you know, donations. Yeah, that's really amazing.
I agree.
Yeah.
Well, I think you are a fabulous person.
Thank you.
It's good to know that there's, you know, actresses and actors out there that are staying true to God and don't mind acknowledging it. So.
Oh, I agree. I agree. There's more and more of us every day, I think. So it's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
But thanks so much for calling in. And have a good lunch, and you're awesome. Thanks so much, Kim.
I'm going to fly back to work now. Y'all have a good day.
Okay, all right.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. That was fun.
Yeah, she's so cute.
Yeah. Before I let you go, because we only have about 3 minutes left, well, 2.5 actually. Oh, wow, this has gone by quick.
I know.
I have a couple of fun questions for you.
All right.
Do you have any hidden talents?
Well, I don't know if I would call it a talent, but I'm kidding, telling you guys this, but I'm going to because that's who I am. My nose does not have cartilage until like halfway up. Like I don't know if I even have like my nose bone. I don't know if my nose is even breakable. Like I can literally press my nose down and flatten it out, and I can smush it to each cheek side to side. It's very weird. So I don't know if that's a hidden talent by any means, but that's what I always think of when people are like, do you have a hidden talent? I'm like, my nose is kind of weird. So there's that.
Wow. Okay, that is a little weird.
It's totally weird.
Your favorite vacation spot?
Oh, my goodness. I don't know. I think it depends on who you're on the vacation with, is, I guess. That would be my answer, but probably Virginia, because I just like seeing everybody and I like being back home.
Right. If I don't ask this question, my best friend will kill me. So,
okay.
If you could go back and change one thing about your career, would you, and what would it be?
I don't know that I would necessarily change anything because I do believe things happen for a reason. However, I would tell myself, you know, I tell myself this all the time now, but I would also go back and tell myself in the past, like, be very picky, like, give yourself permission to be picky about the roles that you choose. Because I think it's important that you like the script and that you like the character and that you, you know, are feeling good about the project.
Well, oh, we only have about 10 seconds left, so I'd like to thank you for coming on. And
thank you.
And you have a invitation back to the show whenever you want to come back. Just,
yeah.
Email me or tweet me or whatever.
Okay, sounds perfect. Thanks so much for having me on, and I'm glad it finally worked out schedule-wise.
Oh, yeah. Our schedules have been clashing over the past 2 or 3 months.
Yes. I'm like, okay, let me know this week. Cody's been pretty awesome about keeping up with it, so I appreciate that. Anyway, have an awesome day. I only had one, you know, Panera missed speak for 9 in the morning. And
right.
I'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, Jen. Bye.
All right, bye.